Genesis chapter 5. I call that the dying chapter of God's obituary column. Amen. They lived so long and died. But I want to pull an individual out of that tonight. I pray that God might help us with it. And we might catch on till we've preached on this man before. But I want to make an application to me and to you. Genesis chapter number 5. And we'll go down, please, into verse number 18. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 18, the Bible said, "And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch." You see Enoch there? So what I want to deal with tonight, I want to talk about some things about Enoch and then try to apply it over to you and me. It said in verse 19, "And Jared lived, after he begat Enoch, 800 years, and begat sons and daughters." Every one of these will say that tonight. Begat sons and daughters. The daughters are not mentioned, but the sons are. And so that's just the way it was in Bible days. And so it goes on in verse number 20. It says, "And all the days of Jared were 962, and he died." Then verse number 21 says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah." Now, you know Methuselah was the oldest man in the world. Amen. Nobody ever lived as long as Methuselah. Amen. On this earth, as far as we have record of. Verse 22, "And Enoch," notice these next three words, "walked with God." Let that sink in. Walked with God. You see that tonight? Amen. And we appreciate that. He lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters." Verse 23, "And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God." See it again? Twice. "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Amen. And that's the life of Enoch. Now let's pray again. Father, help us tonight to rightly divide the word of truth. Give us strength, encouragement. And I pray, God, you drive home the thought tonight that you've laid upon our heart. And I pray we'll take it home with us, and we'll give you the praise, the glory for it. Lord, that may we use it and apply it to our life. In Jesus' name, we ask it all. Amen. Now, the phrase "walked with God" mentioned three times in the Bible. Twice I've read to you tonight with the life of Enoch. The only other time that phrase is mentioned, now that don't mean there's not anybody else that walked with God. It just means that God put these out there for us to specify and look at. The second one is found in chapter 6 of the book of Genesis, just right over from that chapter. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 9. And it tells us there, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect." That means he's mature in his generations. "And Noah," notice that, "walked with God." Now, I want to use that tonight, and I'm just wondering how many of us are walking with God. Walked is past tense. That's said of them after they're gone, and we're still here. Are you walking with God? Now, in the Bible, we know that God's missing some other things, and I'll just kind of throw this at you. In Genesis chapter 17, I'm going to give you a lot of Bible tonight. Matter of fact, that's what you need. Praise God, you need that better than Cheerios, don't you? Amen. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 says, "And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God." Notice the phrase, "walk before me." Walk before me and be thou perfect. Or that's not without sin. It means mature. Amen. and walking in the statutes of the Word of God. Abraham was commanded to walk before God. What's that mean? To be an example, to be an illustration, to be somebody that people would want to walk after and be like. Have you ever met people that you believe tonight walk with God? Or believe that you know some people today that are walking with God? Amen. Now sometimes we'll think we're walking for God when we're not. And sometimes we think we're walking with God when we're not. And I'll explain a little bit of that tonight. I pray it'll help you. Now slide over to Genesis chapter 24 and verse number 40. And I pray tonight that God might help us to see this. God wants us to walk before Him. In chapter 24 of the book of Genesis and verse number 40, the Bible said, "And He said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send His angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house." And we'll find that they're fixing to go get a bride for Isaac. And Abraham's sending the servant to go. And he's saying, "Before whom I walk." And he's walking for God. God told him to walk for God. And he walked for God. The Bible said that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So he walked for God and he walked with God in a sense. You don't say that term, but it says he walked before God. And then he said, "I walk." Now, I want to go over just a little bit more. We'll see this in Genesis chapter 48. We're getting down through the whole lineage of the Israelites and how that God has got them started. But in chapter 48, verse number 15, we're going to talk about Jacob. Now remember, Jacob has been changed, or his name has been changed to Israel. Jacob had 12 sons, or at least counted for the 12 tribes of Israel. And when we say the 12 tribes of Israel, it's the 12 sons of Jacob that he's talking about. But in Genesis chapter 48 and verse number 15, I want you to see this. "And he blessed Joseph." Joseph is the son. He's the one who had the coat of many colors. He's the one who was sold to the Midianites. He was the one who was sold into slavery and was told to his father that he was killed. Amen. So we look at this in chapter 48, verse 15. He said, "And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did what? Walk. The God which fed me all my life long unto this day." Now he's talking about it. See, he said, "And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk." Now, God has took care of him. He walked with God too as well. Now, I'm going to ask the question again. I didn't ask it. Are you really walking for God? Are you really walking with God? Are you really? Now, I'm asking you a question. You don't have to answer that. But I want you to give special attention to it tonight. Are you doing all you can to walk for God? Are you just, like most folks, haphazardly just doing what you do every day and not paying much attention? If you're walking for God, there's some requirements. We're going to talk about them tonight. And you've got to meet those requirements or you'll not be blessed with it. Amen. Now, I want to give you this. How can we walk with God? I'll tell you, I have a hard time walking with people. Have you? Every once in a while, I find folks I can't walk with. But I want to tell you, there ought to be no reason tonight why we could not walk with God. It's maybe because we just don't want to. or we don't want to meet the requirements, or we don't want to trim up something in our life. Amen. Now, I believe this tonight that we need to look at some things. And I really do believe that tonight we need to pay attention to some things in our life. Amen. Now, I honestly believe tonight that we have to do something. Number one, for you never walk with God. It's imperative. Nobody can walk with God until they know God in the free pardon of sin. I know some people today that are trying to walk for God, and they've never given their heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't walk for God nor work for Him either. You can't walk for God if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've got to be birthed into the family of God. You've got to be born again. That's not popular in this day. Being born again is not prominent in this society. But you've got to be born again to be able to walk for God and with God. Amen. Now you got to get that fixed first. If you don't get that fixed, might as well get number one in play and do it. If you're not been saved, that's the first thing you need is to be saved. Birthed in the family of God. Born again. Amen. Secondly, some of us have got saved and we are born again and we know we're born again. But the second thing you've got to do is make sure you clean out the trash. A few years ago, I had a call to come visit a couple, and it's in this church. They're not here now. Both of them are dead. But I was called to come to their house and visit them. And the reason they want me to come visit them, they want me to work on their computer. Isn't that the way you get a preacher sometimes, you know? But that's it. And I went down there to visit them. And when I walked in the door, I barely could get in. And the every chair in the living room was full of something. And everything around the chair was full in the floor. They had a trail that they went from the living room to the back room. You had to walk around everything. And it wasn't a straight trail. I had to walk to the left and back to the right and around the chair and around the corner and down the hall. And they had the hall so wide. I mean, it was narrow anyhow, but they had it packed up with everything. And I'm having to walk down through it to get back to where the computer was. And I thought to myself, they need to clean out the trash. Now, some of you tonight, you're trying to walk for God, but you got so much junk in your life that you don't have room to walk for God. We need to have a little trash cleaning. Now, let me just tell you this. I'm a typical man. Amen. Sometimes worse than that. And I don't like to call myself a hoarder, but I don't throw much away. I'm preaching this one. Amen. And I don't throw much away, but anyhow, it'll pack up. And I'm sure some of you ladies have got closets that you wouldn't want me coming and opening the door on. I mean, you know, you pack your closets full before you get to the rest of the house. And every once in a while, you'll have a house cleaning. Isn't it amazing that what you used to think was all right and nice, and you're going to use it, and it's still good, but you don't want to give it away. You don't want to wear it. You don't want to use it. But one day, you get so much junk that you decide, I've got to do something with it, and that's how yard sales got started. And we'll get rid of it. But it's hard to throw that stuff away, isn't it? I've got things, and I don't have as many now as I used to, but I've had things that I bought 20 years ago, and I bought them because I was going to use them, and 20 years later, I hadn't used them. And finally, when I need to put something else in its place, I've got to get rid of it, and I say, well, I hadn't used it in 20 years, I probably won't need it anymore, anyhow. So I throw it away and then need it tomorrow. I've had that happen. But I'm trying to tell you, there's things in your life that you're trying to live for God that you've got in the way, and you don't have free right away for God in your heart. We need to clean the trash out. Have you ever seen these hoarders that they talk about? They have houses and they can't do nothing but walk from one place to another, like I was talking about a while ago. And they buy something and it's half useless or half available or half helpful or something, and they keep it for the half. Y'all ain't ever done that, I don't guess, but most of us have. But I'm saying that's the same thing. We've got things stuck in our living room of our heart, living room of our soul, and we've got things that gets our attention, keeps our attention away from the things of God, and we lean on those things, and we don't allow God to have full right away. So the number one, we've got to get rid of our sin through the Lord Jesus Christ in a new birth. Secondly, we got to get rid of the trash. Now, to walk for God, you have to have one particular thing, and I'm going to point out to you. Turn to Amos, please, tonight. To the book of Amos. I'll give you time to turn to the book of Amos. You said that's one of them hard books to find. Sure is. Amen. And I've been in the Bible for a long, long time. It's still hard for me. Amen. I know basically where they are, but I have to hunt them. I don't have a thumb index Bible. If you got a thumb index Bible, that's okay. You can go ahead and cheat. That's fine. Amen. You need to learn how to do it without the thumb index. But if you have to have a thumb index, I'm not going to fuss at you. Amen. That's right. Now, let's look at Amos. There's one verse of scripture I want to point out to you out of the book of Amos, chapter 3 and verse 3. You probably knew that's where I was going. Amos chapter 3 and verse number 3, third chapter, third verse. Here's what Amos said. Can two walk together except they be agreed? That's the question. Did you know tonight you have fellowship with those who you agree with? But nobody in this building can tell me that you've met somebody in life that you agree on everything. That's right. You won't agree on everything with me. If you do, something wrong with you. Now, we ought to agree. There's not but one right and one wrong. It's either right or it's either wrong. There's nothing half right and half wrong. Now, you said, I don't agree with that. Now, that's what I say. We can't get along, can we? Amen. You understand what I'm saying? So to be able to walk with God, we've got to agree with God on everything. I'm not reading this wrong, am I? I believe I got this right. Amen. Lord, give me this little message this morning about 4:30. Amen. I've been mulling it over all day and wanting to get up here, and I'm not going to get it all preached. I'm just going to give you something. We'll go to the house. We have to agree. Is there anything in this Bible tonight that you don't particularly agree with? Now, you don't have to answer that. I don't want you incriminating yourself. But I can tell you there's things in this Bible you don't agree with 100%. There's a lot of it you've got question marks about. Amen. I was listening to a preacher today, never had seen him before, never had heard him before, but he had a subject I wanted to hear what he had to say, and it didn't take me about 5 minutes to figure I didn't want to hear what he had to say. You ever run into them? I do. He stepped up in the pulpit. They introduced him. He stepped up in the pulpit of one of them little glass pulpit things. And the first thing I seen is he walked up there. When I seen him, he's going up with a suit coat on. And then I seen him going up through in a pair of blue jeans. Well, I don't have no problem. Blue jeans, I wear them. They do cover your nakedness. They're pretty tough. And I just don't think that's a proper place for him in the pulpit, though. Amen. You may disagree with me. That's okay. But what got me was when he stood up and behind the pulpit, I looked and he had on a suit coat. And I thought, well, he's dressed fairly decent. But when I looked him in the eye and seen he didn't have on no tie, and all he had under that old suit coat was a V-neck T-shirt, and it wasn't even in his breeches. And I said to myself, boy, you done turned me off now.
That's right.
Amen. You'll be in here tomorrow. Isn't it amazing? If I was going to have to go to the pulpit in a T-shirt, I wear V-necks, but I'll tell you right now, I'd go with one of the V-neck. Amen. I mean, some of these preachers may be proud of three hairs on their chest, but not me. I'm respectful for the house of God.
Amen. That's it.
Amen. And I don't know why women expect men to dress like that when they have big old V-necks all everywhere. Amen. I'd wrap myself up in a tow sack or something. But anyhow, we're not onto that subject. I'm on something else. I just wanted to throw that in. That didn't cost you nothing. We need to be agreed.
Amen.
To walk with God, I've got to agree with him on everything. That means I agree with him from Genesis 1, verse 1, to Revelation 22. What is the last verse? 21? Something like that. I get in the word, the first word of your Bible, in the last word of your Bible is amen. And I want to just say I need to agree with everything between that. He's the first and the last, and I need to agree with everything from the first to the last of my Bible. Get this fixed in your mind. If there's anything in the Word of God that you wonder about and you have not done, and maybe the Holy Spirit's even told you that something's wrong there, and maybe you push it off for 20 years. Maybe you push it off for 10 years. Maybe you said, I don't really see it that way. And I've heard preachers preach it, and they preach it, and I just kind of push it to the side. You can't agree with God if the preacher's right.
Amen.
You said, I don't believe the preacher's right. Then get you out your Bible and read it page after page, chapter after chapter, verse after verse, and beg God and plead with God to show you what is right and what is wrong.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And when you open your Bible, you say, Lord, show me what I'm supposed to do with this book tonight, that I'll be in harmony with you, that I can walk with you in full accord. Now that's good preaching. I don't care what anybody says. Amen. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm telling you, that's Bible. So we need to be agreed. The next thing we need to be is to know and to be able to walk with God is we need to have the same mind of Christ that he has. That's kind of close to being agreed, isn't it? Would you turn tonight in the book of Philippians? I'm going to give you a lot of Bible. You said, I don't want a whole lot of Bible. I know nobody wants a whole lot of Bible. That's why we're in a mess. That's why our churches are turning upside down. That's why we don't have many services like we had Sunday night. That word of God will work in our heart. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. Now notice what this says. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're to have the mind of Christ about everything under the sun. You said, well, that ain't what I think. It don't matter what you think. God's not concerned about what you think. He wants you to be concerned about what He thinks. Let God be true and all every man a liar. God wants us to follow this word tonight. He wants us, as a fellow said, swallow it. Hook, line, and sinker. You ever been fishing? You get a fish to swallow it all. Buddy, you got him. He ain't going to get off the line. He's done for. Amen. It's hard to salvage a fish that swallowed it all. You may get him back in the water, but he won't last long. Amen. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We've got to have the mind of Christ. If we don't have the mind of Christ and think like He does and believe like He believes and follow what He does and teaches in His Word, we can't walk like Jesus. We can't talk like Jesus. We can't think like Jesus, and therefore we can't live like Jesus. Therefore we cannot walk with God. Amen. There's not a husband nor a wife tonight that agrees on everything. I know I've experienced marriage. I know what it is. There's times my wife didn't agree with me. And there's times I didn't agree with her. And when she didn't agree with me, I knowed it. And when I didn't agree with her, she knowed it. Ain't that right, ladies and gentlemen? And, that's the way it works. But I want to tell you, when everything's in line and you agree with one another on everything, you can walk with one another. That's what the Bible said. That we be in one mind and one accord. Now just on that side, let me just go back. Praise God. I know the Lord's in that because I just flipped my Bible one time and there it landed. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10. Now this is to Christians. This is not how we walk with God, but how we walk with God will help us right here with this. Bible said in 1 Corinthians 1:10, now I beseech you. In other words, Paul said, I beg you, I plead with you. I reason with you. Now I beseech you, brethren. That word brethren means just born again believers. By the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. That's hard to do, ain't it? You get to talking to people in the world and they all got, well, here's what I think. Then says, here's what I think. Now you go to church and you get believers and they're supposed to have the same Bible, believing in the same God, and you say, here's what I think. And they'll say, well, I kind of look at it a little different than that. You ever hear church folks that believes the same thing every time? No. All got their opinion. And your opinion don't matter. It's what the Bible says. That you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you. What's that mean? If we're not agreed, we're going to have divisions. If we don't agree with the Word of God and believe everything that God's got in this book tonight and we don't do what God says in this book, you know what's going to happen? We're going to be divided with Christ. And we won't be able to walk with Him. Now Enoch walked with God 24/7. But now, preacher, he wasn't living in our day. No, but he was living in a wicked hour. He was a seventh from Adam. Amen. Getting close to the flood. Matter of fact, I'll go ahead and give you a different one. You know why God put Noah in there? Because he's the last one for the first 2,000 years, still alive, that God called on him to build an ark. And he was living in wicked days when men were evil continually. All that was on their mind was ungodliness and wickedness. Right? And Noah walked with God. Why, preacher, living under the circumstances I have, or the wife I've got, or the husband I've got, or the kids I've got, or the job I live with all the circumstances around me and everything that's happening today in the world, can't nobody walk with God. Now, don't that sound kind of reasonable to most of our little peanut brains? Isn't that about what the world thinks? Well, let me remind you a little bit more than that. I read in the Word of God of a boy by the name of Daniel that prayed 3 times, a day. And when he went to pray, he opened the windows and they said, if you pray anymore, we'll put you in the lion's den or the den of lions. And he didn't back down. He went down there and prayed. And then he got thrown to Daniel in the lion's den, or den of lions, and come out safe on the other side. Don't you know that was a rough time?
Yeah.
What about the 3 Hebrew boys when they had all that music going on in an image up there? And they said, now, when you hear the music, you've got to bow. And them boys wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow. And thank God they didn't burn. They put them in the fiery furnace. The furnace was so hot it killed the men that throwed them in. And they got down and had camp meeting. God heated up the furnace 7 times hotter than normally wanted to be hotter. That's what the king done. But it got it up to God's temperature. God don't like cold religion.
Yeah.
Amen. And when they shut the door, they were in there. King rose up and worried about it, went down. He said, didn't we throw 3 men in there? And he said, yes, sir, that's right. We put 3 in. He said, lo, I see 4 down there, and one of them looks like the Son of God. Amen. And they had camp meeting. They come out. Their clothes didn't smell like smoke. You ever burnt trash and get in the house and say, phew, smell like trash. That's right. Didn't even get a hair on their head swings. You ever throw trash in the fire and burn your eyebrows or burn the hair off your hand? It stinks. They didn't even have that. They were in accord and they walked with God. So we got to have this mind of Christ. And then there's something else. Let me give you, go to Philippians chapter 4 since we're there. Let's just go to Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, here's another way that we got to walk, and if we don't do these things, we're not going to walk with God. In Philippians 4 and verse number 8, the Bible said this, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, you got that? Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, then he says, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, then Paul says this, think on these things. You got to get your thinking right. In other words, it's not what you have got to do to please yourself or to satisfy yourself or to help yourself, but what can I do to please him? You can't walk without pleasing Christ. How are you going to please him? Obeying the word of God. What did Abraham do? He believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. What do you got to do? Believe God. Enoch believed God. Noah believed God. Abraham believed God. All who have walked with God down through the years believe God. Now, you can't just believe in part of it. You said, I believe a lot of that. It's in the Bible. You said, there's a lot of things I believe. But there's just a few things that I'm going to part company with. And I don't have to tell them because I know good and well the Holy Spirit telling you. I don't have to tell you what's wrong. Holy Spirit will. Amen. Sometimes I remind you. I love to remind you. But I'm not going to remind you tonight. The Holy Spirit will do it. There's things in your life that that I may not know a thing in the world about, but the Holy Spirit's reminding you right now. Amen. Maybe something you're harboring in your heart against somebody. It may be something is not just a little bit contrary. If it's a little bit, it's too far go. You know, we think about, I don't lie, I just tell little white lies. I stretch the truth a little bit. You know, I don't like to be told that I'm bad. The Holy Ghost tells me that sometimes. I say, but look at all the good things I'm doing. And the Holy Ghost don't even take record of that. He done wrote it down. He knows what I've done. But he knows what I'm not doing. And what I'm not doing is interfering with what I am doing. Does that make sense? All right. Now, let's go on. I got some more things. And the time done got me, so I'll just hurriedly get a few more and we'll go home. Leviticus chapter 26. Matter of fact, when you get home tonight, I'm just going to give you this and just use it. You got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, third book of your Bible. And when you get to Leviticus, we're going to the 26th chapter. Now, that's a good chapter for you to read on the subject that I'm dealing with tonight. Here's what God says in the first few verses of that chapter. Ye shall make no idols. You know what an idol is? Something you put ahead of God. It could be a car, a house, a job, suit of clothes, a pair of shoes, a fishing rod, a gun, a car, a boat. Amen. You said, don't knock my boat. I ain't knocking your boat. But now if you've got it ahead of God, I'm knocking it. But you're the one that's going to pay for it, not me. I've got a lot of things, but I don't let them be first. Matter of fact, I've had to say a lot of times, Lord, don't let me get involved in that till I get what I need to get done. Sometimes I don't get what I need to get done. Amen. And still don't have time. For those things. Ye shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths. Of course, we don't keep in Sabbaths today, but there's the second part of it is, and reverence my sanctuary. That's one thing is still good. He said, I am the Lord. Then he said in verse 3, if. When God puts an if there, means there's a condition. And on top of that, if God puts an if, it means there's a good possibility that you won't do it. Ain't that right? If you come by tomorrow, there's a possibility you won't. Amen. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, he says, then will I give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the soil. And you go on down through that whole chapter, and you'll find that God will bless and bless and bless and bless because you're obeying God. But he also in that same chapter tells you, if you don't do it, God said, I'll keep the rain off and your crops won't grow. Yeah. Amen. And in verse 16, he said, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning og that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow. In other words, I'll send you sickness and disease and heartache and pain. I'll get your attention. You ever wonder why that happens in our life? We're not walking with God. Amen. Just go back and think about these men that walk with God. They live right. Yeah. And God blessed them.
That's right.
So we'll leave that off. You read that 26th chapter. I want to jump over into one more portion, one more book. And I'm going to give you these and we're going home. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians, I love that book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, we're looking over in Romans and 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians and Galatians and then Ephesians. In chapter 2 in verse 10, he says this in the Word. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should what? Walk in them. What? We walk in good works. To walk with God, we have to do good works. You don't do bad works. Anything that appears to be bad, you leave it alone. If you know it's wrong, leave it alone. You start doing something, somebody says, I just never know when it's right or wrong. Well, if you don't know what's right or wrong, sit down and wait on God. And find out what's happened that he ain't showing you. You know what happens when I start going wrong? I've been a few times in my life, I didn't know. Because I'd gotten away from God. I had too much clutter in the living room. Hadn't cleaned the house out lately. Hadn't confessed sin before God. It takes a constant confession of sin in our lives to walk with God. So the house got cluttered up and I couldn't keep the things that I was supposed to in my mind. And so I wasn't doing certain things and I didn't know where they was right or wrong. But when I was walking with God, I start to do something. Lord said, you mean to start to do, no, I'm not even talking just about that. When you let something run through your mind, yeah. When the devil puts, the Holy Spirit says, get off that.
Yeah.
Somebody said, preacher, I can't help my thought pattern. Yes, you can. Get the mind of Christ. Get off of it.
Yeah.
Amen. It's not a sin to hear what the devil has to say. But it is a sin when you go to thinking about what he has said.
Yeah.
And start trying to pursue what he's doing. Got to get rid of it. Now, in chapter 4, verse 1 of Ephesians. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk what? Worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. You walk worthy. How you going to walk worthy? Doing what God wants you to do. That pleases, something that pleases God is what you ought to be doing. If it don't, you said, I don't really particularly care for that. That's right. It's kind of like sometimes you sit down at the table and there's certain things that they've put on the table you don't particularly care for, but you know what? You eat it or you go hungry. There's some things I like, but there's some things I like more. And when I've got them both on the table, you know which one I'll eat? Amen. I'll eat the one I like more, and then if I'm still hungry, I'll eat that which I like the less.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, you may be different than I am. You may eat what you don't like first. But you're afraid you won't have no room for the other. It's kind of like a kid, you know how they are? You give them beans and potatoes and English peas and squash, and they'll sit there and say, I'm so full. I'm so full. And they won't eat no more. But you go over there and get the pie out, and oh, they it's amazing how quickly their appetite comes back. That's we're the same way with God.
Right.
Chapter 5 and verse 2. Ephesians. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Now, sometimes I don't walk like that. Amen. I walk sometimes like I'm mad at the world and sometimes I'm mad at part of them. God help me. Boy, I'll tell you one thing about the Word of God. It'll bring you in check, won't it?
Amen.
Amen. It's like putting a leash around a dog's neck, boy. He'll hold you. He'll hold you to the stob, as old feller says. Chapter 5 and verse 8. I heard somebody say this tonight. In chapter 5 and verse 8 of the book of Ephesians. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. He said, walk as children of light. Look at verse 15 of that same chapter. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And here's what they said tonight, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Walk circumspectly. What's that? Cautiously, carefully. You ever seen a cat on a hot tin roof? That's how we're to walk. Amen. Circumspectly. As children of light. Now I'm just getting started to talk about walking with God. But I'm out of gas. And I'm looking at you. You are too, some of you. I'm going to let you go, but I pray tonight God will help you. I hope it's been enough to help you a little. Take it to heart. The Word of God's real. And God expects us to abide by it. Heads bowed tonight. And I pray that the Lord might help us as we look at these things. Wouldn't it be good for us just to walk like Enoch did and walk out one day and just not come back to the house, get closer to heaven and down here, and we just walk on into glory. That's what he did. And I pray tonight that we'll walk with God. We'll walk for God and before God. If we walk before God, we're going to walk before a lost and dying world, and they're going to see Christ in us. We walk with God and they're going to recognize us as something special.